in your Bibles in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We'll start reading at verse number 1 down through verse number 8. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that that in thee also. Wherefore, put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Title of the message tonight is The Spirits God Has Given Us. The Spirit God has given us. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump into the message this evening. Heavenly Father, I pray that once again you'd bless your word, the preaching of your word. God, I pray that you'd open hearts, open minds. Lord God, would you please empty of me and myself? Would you remove me out of the way? God, don't let Brady get in the way tonight. Don't let my flesh get in the way. God, you told us the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And God, my flesh is weak, and there's nothing good I can do in my own flesh, my own power. I need your help. I need your strength. God, I need your guidance. I need your words. No one here needs anything from me. They need something from you. Use me as a conduit. Use me as a tool to convey your message to your people. That they might be encouraged. They might be challenged, God. They might be convicted. They might be stirred. Lord, please help me not to do a dishonor to your word. Lord, I want you to be glorified. I want you to be lifted up so that all men can be drawn unto you. Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God here, Paul here is writing to the young pastor, Timothy. And as I'm sure Timothy, not a very old man, pretty young, going in to take over a church. I'm sure he's got a lot of fears. I'm sure he's got a lot of worries. I'm sure he's got a lot of doubts. And he's scared probably. He's intimidated. I'm sure he's got people in his congregation that are much older than him, much wiser than him, more experienced in life than him. And he's going into this thing, getting ready to be a pastor. Well, I guess he's already been a pastor for a little bit. This is his second Timothy, but been there. I'm sure he's got some challenges, had some difficulties. And Paul is just trying to encourage him. Paul's trying to challenge him. Paul's trying to help him just get through it and just help him to keep moving forward. And we know the famous verse about, you know, don't let any man despise thy youth, but be an example unto the believers. And Paul just trying to encourage young Timothy as he tries to pastor this church. And he says here in verse number 7, that's really going to be our key verse, our text verse here tonight. It says, For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God's desire for us is not to be fearful. And God has given us three different spirits, or given us the spirit. He calls them as one, but there are three parts here. The spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. But before we get into that, I want to just give us the thought that something that God didn't give us, and that is the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is not something that's from God. It's not something that God wants in our life. God does not want us to be fearful or to be worried about things, to be fretting, to be biting our nails. Oh man, what's going to happen next? What's going to go on? What are they going to say? What are they going to think? What's going to happen? God says, I don't want you to be fearful. I don't want you to be worried. Any fear is not of God. It is of Satan. So I want to give you just some definitions of fear. Fear is a noun, is a painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. Fear is an uneasiness of mind upon the thought of future evil likely to befall us. As a verb, it's to feel a painful apprehension of some independent evil, to be afraid of, to consider or expect with emotions of alarm. We fear the approach of an enemy or of a storm. We have reason to fear the punishment of our sin. Fear, it's something that God has not designed for us. It's not something that God wants for us. He doesn't want us to have this apprehension of expecting evil or expecting doom and gloom or expecting what could go wrong or what might go wrong. God doesn't want us to have fear. God wants us to trust in Him, to rely in Him. If we have fear, it's just a lack of faith. If we have fear, it's a lack of trust in God. God doesn't want that. Psalms 23:4 says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God says, I don't want you to be fearful. I don't want you to be worried. I don't want you to be fretting what could happen, what tomorrow may bring. Don't worry about it. I'm in control. I've already got it figured out. I've already got a plan. I've already got a purpose. Don't fear. And here's Paul just telling young Timothy, he says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, Timothy. You don't need to worry. You don't need to fret. Don't worry about what your congregation is going to say. You just get up there and preach what God has for you. God will do the rest. He says, young Timothy, don't fear what the critics may say. Don't fear what the world may say or the religious crowd may say. Don't fear that. You just serve me. You just do right. You just trust me. You just keep going forward. You can just keep pressing on, and I'll take care of it. I'll handle it. Just trust me. Paul says, we have not been given the spirit of fear. So let me jump into the spirit that God has given us. God has promised to provide our needs. God has promised to take care of us. God has promised to meet the needs. So number one, God has given us the spirit of power. The power to overcome any obstacle or any barrier we may encounter in life. Once again, going back to the Sunday school, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I don't have to worry about whatever the situation is because God has already given me the power to be able to overcome that if I trust in Him. Power, just divining power, it means force, literally or figuratively. It could be specifically a miraculous power, usually implicating a miracle itself, ability, abundance, meaning, or might. It's just power, strength. It could be just might and a wonderful working. It's also the facility of doing or performing anything, the facility of moving or of producing a change in something, ability or strength. God has given us the power. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what the trial is. It doesn't matter what's going on. God has given us the power, the ability, the strength, the facility to be able to overcome whatever the challenge is. God has given us that power. He's taken care of it. He's met the need. He's given us the strength. We just need to be surrendered to Him. As we learn in the Sunday school lesson, for I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In my own flesh, I can't do anything. In my own flesh, I will struggle. In my own flesh, I will have battles. In my own flesh, I do have some limitations and some lacking in abilities and maybe not have the strength or the capability to handle a situation or to be able to take control of something that needs to be handled. But with God, through Christ, it doesn't matter what it is, I can handle it. Through Christ, I can meet it head on. Through Christ, I can deal with the fiery furnace. Through Christ, I can go into the lion's den. Through Christ, I can carry my cross. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what the burden, it doesn't matter what the challenge, through Christ, I can do it. Because God has given us the spirit of power, the ability to get through whatever the situation is, no matter what the difficulty. I think of a man by the name of John Bishop. I don't know if you've heard of John Bishop or not. He started a camp in Rosebud, Arkansas quite a few years ago. I don't remember how many years ago it's been now. It's been 35, 40 years ago, something like that. And about 15, well, probably almost 20 years ago now, he got spinal meningitis. Went through just some horrible times. They were able to take care of it and get it removed and everything like that, but he lost his memory of everything. He lost his ability to do anything. When he woke up, he didn't know who his wife was. He didn't know who any of his kids were. He didn't remember how to read or to write. He could barely talk. He had to learn how to walk again. He had to learn how to do everything. His wife was right there with him, just helping him with it. But as he's grown, as he developed, and as he got better, and as he got better, he was never able to fully take over being in charge of the camp he was in charge of. But luckily, his sons were old enough. They were able to just kind of move in and take over the reins there and be able to continue it going. But John Bishop was there, and that's the camp that I went to as a teenager. And he was always such an inspiration. He's always such a challenge that, man, if he could go through what he went through and come out the other side serving God, having the incredible spirit, the incredible joy that was just on his face all the time, man, I can too. And why can he do that? Because he had the spirit of power that God had given him. The pain and the agony that he still went through, he'd have what he called cluster headaches where, and a lot of times he'd get them at nighttime. The only way he could get to sleep is he'd have to basically curl up in the fetal position and lay like on his knees. The only way he could get to sleep because it would cause just such pain. And something about laying that specific way that it wouldn't hurt quite as bad. And he just found the good in everything. Most of us would look at that and say, man, that's so miserable to have to sleep like that sometimes. And he said, no, I just thank God that he gives me these headaches that cause me to have to kneel before him. And he looked at it as an opportunity just to kneel and talk to God. And it's just so incredible to hear his story and hear his testimony. Maybe you never get something on Brother John Bishop and just read on it and read his story, read his testimony. It's just so incredible. And if he can come out through what he has went through, so positive, so full of joy, so full of love for God, so full of just a desire to serve God, so can I. But why can he do that? Because God gave him the spirit of power to overcome it. His wife went through a horrible situation. I mean, to have your husband not even remember who you are, forgot everything from the marriage. He's never really reclaimed any of his memories before that week woke up from that surgery. I think there's been little bits and pieces of things that he somewhat remembers, but not really hardly much of anything, not many specifics. I think he said he ended up remembering his salvation. God let him have the grace to remember his salvation. But other than that, there wasn't a whole lot of things he remembered. But his wife still stuck close to him, loved him, cherished him. She basically had to take somewhere in his 40s, 40-ish, 45-year-old man, and basically treat him like a baby almost. Had to help feed him, had to help clothing, help him use the restroom. I mean, just so many things. Help teach him how to walk again, teach him how to read again. Just so many things that she had to help him endure. But why? Why did she come through that? Why was she able to do that? Because God gave her the spirit of power, the ability to overcome the situation. We see God has given us, let us say, the spirit of power, the ability to do anything, go anywhere, or be anything God wants us to be. We looked at Gideon this morning talking about God doesn't see who we are, but sees who we can become. God will give you the power to become what you need to become. God will give you the ability to become what he wants you to be. God has given us the means if we'll just trust it to him. Paul says to Timothy, hey, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. You don't have to worry. He's given us the spirit of power, the ability, the strength, the courage to overcome. God has given us the spirit of power. Let me give you the second one tonight, and that is the spirit of love, the ability to love everyone and anyone that comes into our lives. And all of us know that there's some people that come in your life that it's not quite as easy to love as another person. Since I say that, we all probably thought of somebody. We thought of a family member, or maybe a coworker, maybe a boss, maybe a neighbor, possibly. Maybe we're thinking of a friend, or maybe even another church member, possibly. Whoever it is, God has given us the spirit of love. Really, before salvation, we really could never love anybody. Before salvation, I don't know that we could ever even start to comprehend really what love is, because the Bible tells us that God is love in 1 John. He says that we are supposed to love one another, and if we don't love one another, then we are not of God, because God is love. And so often when we think of love, we think of the mushy, gooey, sweet, you know, the cartoon characters with the hearts in their eyes. You know, we think of the, I would never do that person any wrong kind of love. And that is part of love. And without going into deep detail, I've got a whole message just on love, but love is also being willing to go to someone with the hard things and point something out in their life that needs to change. Love is also being willing to correct someone that maybe you're in charge of. We have two kids. You've probably seen them. Love them to death. They drive you crazy sometimes, or drive us crazy sometimes, but we love them to death at the same time. And it's amazing how somebody can drive you so nuts and the next second just melt your heart because they're just so cute, you know? But your kids will do that. But because we love our kids, we correct our kids. Because we love our kids, we discipline our kids. Because we want our kids to grow up and to become mature adults that don't throw a fit just because they don't get their way, or have a tantrum, or have a bad attitude because they don't get what they want, or something isn't quite right. Or why? Because we want them to grow up and be mature adults, but it's because of love that we do that. Love, the spirit of love. God has given us the spirit of love. Just a definition of love here. Love, or that is affection or benevolence specifically, or plural here. It is to have a benevolence or a goodwill for someone. It's an act of kindness, good done to somebody, charity given. Love is just the desire that you want what is best for that person. And when you want what's best for that person, sometimes that means sacrificing something out of your own life so they can have it. Sometimes that's disciplining your child. Sometimes that's going to them and saying, hey, brother, I love you. I want to know I care about you. I want to let you know that you mean a lot to me, but I just feel like I've got to point something out to you. I've seen how you've been handling some situations, or I've seen how you've been acting. I've seen a direction you're going, and it's not good. And I just want to point it out to you, not because I want to be hateful, not because I'm trying to be judgmental in any way, but because I love you. And because of love, I don't want you to go the wrong way. Because of love, I'm willing to lose our friendship if it keeps you from going the wrong path. Why? Because of love. God loves us, but yet the Bible tells us that whom he loveth, he chasteneth. God chastens us because he loves us. He says those that don't have fathers, they don't get that chastening. But those that do have fathers are chastened. They're disciplined. And God does the same to us because he loves us. God died on the cross because he loves us. He sacrificed something for us because of love. And because we're saved, because we're born again, because we're on our way to heaven, because the Holy Spirit of God lives in us, we have the Spirit of love. No matter what may happen, no matter what may go on, no matter what happens with a family or with a friend or with a coworker, because of God and because the Spirit God has given us, we can love them. When that person cuts you off and you're driving, you can love them instead of yelling and screaming and honking the horn at them. My wife knows all about that. She's very sweet and gracious to people when they cut her off. Not really, actually. She's the one that's got the road rage in the family. She gets along with some other people in my family. I won't say my dad's name, but my dad anyway. But some other people in my family. But I think we can all attest to that, having a little bit of road rage when somebody cuts you off or they won't let you over. You know, they see that you want to get over and they speed up beside or whatever it may be. New Mexico is notorious for people just being rude on the road. And I told my wife, in the couple of years we've lived here, I've honked my horn at more people in New Mexico than I have in all of my driving experience anywhere else I've ever lived or driven. It's incredible. But when that person cuts you off on the road, we can still love them. Why? Because God has given us the Spirit of love. And I know a lot of times we react before we think about it, but if we'll even just take a second, stop and say, I don't know what's going on in that person's life. Oh, well, you know, we didn't get an accident. Nobody got hurt. Just let them go. Who knows what's going on in their life? You know, if we stop and think about it, I think I've had situations where I've had emergencies and I'm trying to get somewhere really quick. And I'm sure I've cut some people off and probably got a few California howdies or the one finger wave or whatever you want to call it around here. The middle finger given to me, whatever it is you might want to call it. I'm sure I've gotten a few of those. Maybe some people cussing me out in their car because I cut them off. But it might have been because of a situation. And I know I've had some situations where I've been in a rush trying to get somewhere because of an emergency. And next time somebody cuts you off, stop and think, maybe they've got an emergency. Maybe they're just a New Mexican and they're just driving because they're rude. But let's stop and think, maybe, we really don't know what's going on in their life. There may be a genuine need. There might be an emergency in their life. We really don't know. But because of God and the Spirit he's given us, we can love them. If you work a customer service job, the next time that customer chews you out or talks down to you and acts like you're a moron or an idiot, we can love them. And when they leave, instead of talking bad about them behind their back, which I've been guilty of, all right, we can instead love them. We can instead pray for them. We can instead say, you know, I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what the situation, but I can love them instead. I can maybe just send up a quick prayer here. God, I don't know what's going on in their life, but would you help them? Why? Because God has given us the Spirit of love. We're supposed to be different. The Bible tells us, how will they know that you are mine except that you love one another? We're supposed to be loving people, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, why would the world ever want to be a part of this if they see us fighting and bickering and arguing and backbiting and holding bitterness and grudges against one another? And, well, I won't sit on that side of the auditorium because they're sitting over there. Let's be above that. Let's be adults about it. And let's love one another. Let's move past our differences. So number one, God has given us the Spirit of power, the ability to overcome whatever the situation may be. God's given us the Spirit of love, the ability just to love people no matter who they are, no matter what the situation, no matter what's going on, we can love them. Number three, he gave us a sound mind. He's given us a sound mind, the ability to think clearly in every situation. Some definition, just the discipline, or that is of self-control. It's the entire, the unbroken, the not shaky, the not split or defective as a sound timber. It's uncaving or it's whole, it's perfect, or not defective as sound fruit or a sound apple or melon. It's not defective. And God has given us a sound mind. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants to give us that sound mind. And when we first get saved, we may not have a sound mind. Our mind might be pretty jumbled up, maybe pretty messed up, and it's hard to really get a good clear thought and really see things through God's eyes. But God says, hey, don't be conformed to this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word renewing simply means to go in and do a re-innovation. It means go in there and just gut the whole thing out and start new and fresh. It means rebuild it from the ground up. Gut the whole thing. I always think of a house that maybe has went through a flood or been ruined or something like that. You go in there and, man, everything is bad. The electricity is bad. The plumbing's bad. The sheetrock is bad. The carpet is bad. Hey, we got to pull all that stuff out and do a re-innovation. We've got to put everything new in there. And God says, I want you to do that with your mind. As we go through this Christian life, he says, I want you to renew your mind and continue to renew your mind and continue to renew your mind and continue to renew your mind. Just continue to do it as much as you've got to until you get to the point where you are thinking the way God wants you to think. Because God says, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you a sound mind. When our mind is sound, when we're thinking clearly, no matter whatever the situation may be, no matter who we may be with, no matter what may be going on, with God's help, we should be able to stop and think, okay, what do I need to do? How do I need to handle this situation? But when we don't have that sound mind, then we do start to fear. Then we do start to worry. We start to think about all the worst things that could possibly happen. Because now I've given you a sound mind. I want you to think clearly. I want you to be able to stop and handle whatever the situation is. God has given us the mind to where no matter what we are going through, no matter where we are, no matter who we are with, if we will just trust, rely, and surrender our mind to Him, He will give us the ability to stop and think clearly, to think about things the way He thinks about things. We need to have a world view of the way God views the world. That would change the way we see so many things. But so often the world is so brainwashed and so programmed us to think the way it wants us to think, the way the world wants us to think, the way the devil really wants us to think, that a lot of times we don't look at things the way God wants us to. And as we renew our mind and renew our mind, you say, Brother Bernie, how do we do that? We do that by getting into God's Word and reading it. This is the mind of God for us. And as we read it and we study it, we spend time with it and we think about it and we meditate on it, then what is God's mind then starts to become our mind. And it cleans out the junk and it gets rid of the old and it puts in the new and all the moldy sheetrock is torn out and fresh new sheetrock is put in. And the mildewy carpet is torn out and they put in nice new fresh carpet. And all the old furniture that's not any good anymore is taken out and nice brand new furniture is put in there, because God will renew our mind so that we can then have a sound mind. Because God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. He's given us the spirit of a sound mind to think clearly in every obstacle, in every situation, in every no matter what's going on. As we go through life and we're out in the world, we should never be the person that loses our head or goes crazy or just freaks out in a situation. We ought to be the person that steps back and says, okay, let's see what's going on. Let's figure it out and let's handle the situation. Why? Because God has given us the spirit of a sound mind. I remember when I first started working for Enterprise, I was just a car prep, and you don't get a lot of them here. You don't get tornadoes here, but in the location I was first in, it was basically a mobile home on cinder blocks. I mean, it really wasn't all that spectacular, and they were expecting a tornado to come through the area we were at. Luckily, one didn't end up coming through, but we were there thinking, man, if a tornado comes through, we're in bad shape being in this thing. There's no good place to go in it. You know, sometimes you can go to the bathroom, especially the safest place. Not in this building. It don't matter where you're at. You're going with it, you know. It was not a good place to be. So, but my manager and the other lady I worked with, the two ladies are in the office, neither one can make the call. They're like, well, I don't know, should we go ahead and close and leave? It's the middle of the day. I mean, it's like working hours, okay? Like, should we go ahead and close for our safety and go across the street to, there was a university across this nice, you know, cinder block building, definitely a lot better shape than what ours was to be in if a tornado came. And like, well, I just don't know. And my manager, she just could never make a decision. I'm the lowest paid guy. I'm not in charge of anything. I said, let's close and let's go over there because I don't want to die for this, you know. Why? Because I just made a decision. Somebody's got to make a decision. We've got to decide what we're going to do. And so I just said, hey, let's just close and let's walk over there. The bosses will understand. A tornado was expected to come through. Do you want us to die here? You know, do you want to have to pay for all that extra stuff and all the stuff that goes along with losing, you know, employees on the job? I don't think so. So let's let us close for a couple hours. You might lose a little bit of money, maybe, and let us just go across the street. And I just say, hey, let's do it. Why? Because God gives us the ability to have a sound mind. Just say, okay, let's make a decision. Let's make a choice. Let's have a clear mind about it. Let's stop and think, consider what's going on. Let's make a decision on it. God has given us the spirit of a sound mind. So God has given us the spirit of power, the ability, the strength, no matter what's going on, to overcome the situation. God's given us the spirit of love, so no matter who we run into, we can love them. And God's given us the spirit of a sound mind, that our mind doesn't have to be all jumbled up. It doesn't have to be confused and not sure what's going on. The Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion. God gives us a sound mind so that things can be clear for us. Paul says to Timothy, hey, God has not given you the spirit of fear. You don't have to fret. You don't have to worry. I love the song. I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry because God is there with us. He's holding our hand every step of the way. If we'll let Him, He's walking right along beside us. He's going the way with us. He doesn't save us and say, all right, good luck. See how you do in this life. No, He says, I've saved you. I've come into your heart and your life, and I'm here to help you. I'm here to stay if you'll let me. And if we'll trust Him, we'll just surrender ourselves to you and say, all right, God, you're in control. God says, you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. God says, we can love one another. Because if you don't love one another, then you're not of me, because God is love. He says, I'll give you a sound mind. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew our mind. Change it. The way we look at things, the way we see things, the way we consider things. God says, I've given you that ability, if you'll let me. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us the spirits of power, love, and a sound mind. Are we trusting and relying on Him? Because if we do, no matter what is going on in our life, no matter who we're dealing with, God can help us with.